I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
11 o'clock hour here. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. During the Chiefs Red Half Hour, we will get back into the very serious allegations from the ex-girlfriend of Rashee Rice. We'll do that in just a bit. I will pass along, I believe Pete Sweeney and others just tweeted this out. The NFL put out a statement. This is from NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy about the allegations, saying, quote, "We have been in contact with the club about the matter, which will be reviewed under the league's personal conduct policy." Again, pretty standard statement, but yeah. Just so you guys know, the Chiefs, of course, put out their statement last night mentioning that they had been in contact with the NFL, that they have no further comment. You know, basically they're investigating, if you will, at this point in time. We'll get back into the details around the allegations and also the reality on the football side of it as well. Obviously, the very serious nature of the personal side of it. But the football side, if in fact it could cause him to not play for the Chiefs in 2026, what does that do for your entire offseason if you're Brett Veach, if you're the Chiefs? So we'll do that again if you're just tuning in. Certainly something we will get into here in a bit. But I want to talk a little bit on the stadium front to start the hour, Cody, because we all know where things are at right now on the Missouri side. While maybe there's an increased effort to try to get the Royals after the Chiefs left for Kansas and what has to take place. There's a lot of speculation about whether or not a public vote would be required or not required. Well, then last night, Jason Withington, who is a county commissioner in Clay County. In fact, we've had Jason on the show a few times over the last few years discussing it. He is the Western commissioner, and he is one of seven on the Clay County Commission. So I want to point this out. He is one of seven people. He is not, it's not like when we've talked about, I think Jackson County, where it's like, there is just one executive and kind of he is part of the Clay County Commission. All right. And he's not the presiding commissioner. That's Jerry Nolte. But anyway, Jason Withington on his Facebook page put this out. I'm not going to read the full post because it started with talking about how he loves baseball, right? The smell, the sounds, the roar of the crowd, I think is how he started it. But as it pertains to the stadium, "Over the last few years, the joy has been drained out of it for me. I absolutely loathe the business of baseball. And since I'm always talking about being real, let me be 100. That's how he phrased it.
That's the way you...
I'm trying to read the statement.
Let me be 100. Just yeah. Say it naturally. Yeah. You said it. It's so funny.
Like, how else am I supposed to read it?
I don't know.
It's weird when there's an emoji in the middle of the statement. Anyway, 100. Shout out to Jason. Anyway,
I was trying to keep it 100.
Like, I'm reading the statement, man. "Like Kansas, I'm done negotiating with the Kansas City Royals. Last year, we were told the team wanted to be on the November 2025 ballot. We worked in good faith all summer to make that happen. As the August deadline approached, we were then told they wanted to move to the April 2026 ballot at the earliest. Tomorrow was the deadline," as in now today, this was posted last night. "So today was the deadline we gave the team to meet that timeline. They've now told us they aren't ready for that either. At some point, you stop negotiating and start being honest about what's actually happening. For me, the Royal situation in Clay County is now a closed chapter. It's time for the commission to focus fully on priorities we control, either upgrading our existing county jail or building a new one." Again, that's from Jason Withington, who is one of the county commissioners.
One of seven.
In Clay County, yes.
And I think that that's important to note. The one of seven part is where the way I read that, and I'm curious to see if other people hear the same, is he's tired of it and doesn't want to do it anymore and is encouraging the commission to focus on other things for Clay County to put their business on. But he also said, but there are six other people
How do they feel?
Who probably don't want to close that chapter, or at least some don't want to close that chapter. And what he said in there is also a bit telling in the sense that he said they said they'd want to be on the April ballot at the earliest, implying that even they were saying the April ballot might be too early for us if Clay County ends up being our home. Mm-hmm. And so, look, the truth is, and it's always been true about Clay County, and I live there. It's like, if you're in Clay County and you take offense, I guess just know that I live in Clay County. It is not their first choice. It has not been their first choice for some time. Hell, I'm not even sure it was their second choice. That might have been 119th in all, and with their first choice always being downtown baseball. I think right now what you should be thinking about the Royal Stadium thing is a percentage chance of where they go up and where they end up as a result of this. And because of Kansas also saying we're not interested, one county commissioner saying we should move on and not be interested is Clay County, even though he's kind of speaking for the group, but not speaking for the group because he's not saying that everyone also believes that with him, is that, as I put it right now, if I made you break it down in 100% percentage, I would say it's like 60% downtown, 20% that it's in Kansas somewhere, and 20% it ends in Clay County. If you made me break it down, that's still how I feel. That the most likely scenario is Kansas City proper, that Kansas should not be considered off the table despite the fact they said they're not interested anymore, and that Clay County should not be considered off the table even though one county commissioner said they're not interested.
Yeah, it reads like, again, the Royals are clearly the holdup here. They cannot, John Sherman cannot make up his mind of what he wants to actually do.
He's part of the problem here at this point. I mean, it's hard to imagine we can't blame him a little now.
No, I mean, when you have now one county in Missouri and you now have the Speaker of the House on the Kansas side saying that they're done, and we all thought they were very close to a deal with Kansas, and then now here we are a week into the new year, and both parties involved, Clay County and now the state of Kansas, are saying that, like, yeah, we're done. You kind of had your chance. Whether or not that ends up being true or not, we'll find out. But that they are saying that publicly, and that the Royals were not ready for potentially a vote in April in Clay County, and seemingly trying to, you know, still keep the bidding war open and playing the game a little bit with everybody. At some point, people are like, yeah, we're done with that. Make a decision. And now the door may have closed on at least one, if not both, options. I'm not convinced, as you kind of said, that it's 100% done that they couldn't still go to Kansas. I know other people are. I still think there's still a possibility there. And I still think there's a possibility, of course, they go downtown. Where are they going to end up? But do the Royals know what they actually want? We know 3+ years ago, maybe 5 at this point, but 3+ years ago, they wanted downtown baseball.
Yeah.
But yes, we also know they wanted to have the entertainment district associated with that because of the revenue opportunities. I don't know how many times everybody's brought up what they liked about Atlanta and the district around there, the Battery and everything. And we know that downtown, the East Village site could have allowed them to do that. We know that this Washington Square Park site likely doesn't allow them to do that. And we know that the 119th and Null site does allow them to do that. So, but what do you
kind
want?
Kind of, but it's already kind of pre-built. They'll just have to like build.
Well, no, there's a huge, the land wise, there's a huge chunk of land compared to downtown.
Yes.
Unless you choose the East Village site.
And so,
which we know that got switched at the last minute.
Which Mayor Q was like, we'll go back there. You want to know what I actually think? Look, this is pure speculation, admittedly. So someone in the Royals front office is probably just shaking their head at the notion that I'm even suggesting this. Because the truth is, in the last 7 days, probably, since the Chiefs announced that they were going to Kansas, or it's obviously been longer than that, but let's just say the last week.
Yeah.
In the last week, I've heard people speculate the Royals at 4 different sites, maybe 5. I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, every single site imaginable. They must have a better idea. What I think happened here is, like the Chiefs, the Royals were pitting a few ideas against each other, looking for what might have been the best deal and not the what their original dream scenario is. They let their original dream location die when the vote died. And so what they started doing was, what's the best deal at the best price? So, like, if we go to 119th, what are they offering? Does that get us close enough? Like, they're looking for the closest thing to 100%. And so they were negotiating with multiple parties on multiple fronts, looking for that one's at 72% and this one's at 77. And they were trying to like close every little chapter. Let's buy up every little piece of land. What would it look like if we bought out the J? And they were trying to cross every dot and squeeze out that extra last percentage. And as a result of that, some of these people have been frustrated. And in the end, they should have just taken a deal on the table if there was one on the table, and they've drawn this out too long. I do blame Sherman for part of this at this point. I'm sorry, you had your job as
they haven't made up their mind
to get the stadium deal done, and it doesn't seem like you've made up your mind, and you've now had 3 years. You took over the team 5 years ago when you said, I'm moving the team downtown. You've had a lot of time to sort this out, and now it's 2026. It is 2 years past a vote that took place, and you're not even telling us where you're trying to go. So, like, I mean, it's difficult to not put some of that on the onus of the ownership group and their negotiation skills in this department. But I don't rule out Clay County. I don't rule out Kansas, and I don't rule out downtown.
Like, yeah, I think all three are still alive. I'm kind of with you there. But it's just, you know, we said this 6 months ago, but the longer it draws out, I mean, there's the reality of other situations come to be. You know, I mean, somebody, if none of these areas are willing to come up with a deal, or I should say a deal that the Royals like, how about that? Then where does that leave everything? We know they have a stadium lease that expires at the Truman Sports Complex. We know they have publicly said over and over, no matter what, they are not staying at the K beyond that lease.
Well, they're running out of time to build it.
That's what I'm saying. It's January of 2026.
Does this change our guess? Because I think, was it you and I, Gold, that said pre-June?
Win a site.
I don't know if that changes. One county
commissioner statement shouldn't really
He's one of, and we've had Jason on the show. This is nothing against him at all, but
he's a Griffin. He went to Winnetonka.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about you. When he came on the show and you weren't there, he mentioned you and we talked about you on the air, and I asked for scoop. Mm-hmm. I asked for scoop.
What did he say?
I don't remember. I don't know if he had much for us. But point being, but you're right. He's one of six on the Clay County Commission. And I agree with you that I don't think Clay County was the first or second choice for the Royals anyway. But you've got, in the span of a week, the Speaker of the Kansas House and someone on the Clay County Commission saying, we are done. That is a problem for the Royals.
In any other lifestyle, that's an embarrassing thing to happen. If two women went on the news today and said, we're no longer interested in dating Alex, you'd be like, well, that's, what the hell? You don't have to say it. Like, it's a bit, like, from the Royals' perspective, that would be a bit disheartening for me. I knew I was getting ready to, like, ink a deal with Jackson County and it was all set in stone, to have people be like, one at a time. And look, again, the guy in Kansas obviously also doesn't speak for everybody in Kansas, Gold, right? He doesn't say, like, that's one person amongst many people who are the decision makers on that department, same as the county commissioner, saying there's individuals moving on. And look, at least in Withington's case, I would say his statement sounds like he's over it. He's tired of negotiations and how these work in the baseball team, and he doesn't want to deal with it anymore, and he thinks the commission should spend their time on other things. But again, that doesn't mean that the other six people think it's not worthy of continuing to spend their time. I still hope for downtown baseball, for what it's worth. I still think the East Village site is the best one, Gold. You do too. If it's not downtown, I'd like Clay County, and I would like the 119th and Null site the least. The end. But I don't know, man. It's still, every day we talk about the Royal Stadium, it doesn't actually feel like they're any closer to making it happen, which is a very confusing thing to me.
Coming up in 8 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. We alluded to this a little bit with Dane and Hughes, talking about the offensive coordinator opening and the wide receiver room. Nate Taylor also was discussing this decision last night. That is that Connor Embry has been let go by the Kansas City Chiefs. And this is a name that has been brought up for the last year plus, going back to even last year, with where they're at with the wide receiver room. And this isn't, frankly, to me, an easy decision to make. You're already going to get a new OC. That new OC is probably going to want his own wide receivers coach. And the results, clearly, have not been there from your wide receiver on the development end. Nate Taylor, this morning, even with Bob and Dusty, said that he had heard that wide receivers and receivers in the organization, in that wide receiver room, were not happy with Connor Embry, and that some of the veterans were perhaps helping coach up some of these guys more than the coaching staff,
or at least
Connor Embry. Again, I'm just telling you what Nate said. By the way, I would not be shocked to hear that, and I'm not shocked to hear that based off of the lack of development from the wide receivers.
I mean, I didn't pay that much attention to it because I was like, what, are we going to make the wide receiver coach the scapegoat? And he's not the only guy who gone. They got rid of Whittingham, the assistant defensive line coach, and the defensive
Well, Whittingham,
quality.
In fairness to him, he's going with his dad to coach at Michigan.
Yeah.
That's his dad.
He's gone, and then they got rid of a defensive quality control coach or whatever. Yeah. But if you go back through and you look at Connor Embry's resume, I went back and looked it up on Wikipedia. Was he qualified for this job? Like, how did he end up in it? He was a graduate assistant for Kansas for a year. He then was the wide receivers coach for one single season at Fairview High School in 2017. He was a defensive assistant. That is a pretty low-level job on an NFL staff. He must have, I mean, I'm guessing he had a friend or something, but or knew somebody. That's normally how these work. For 1 year, he spent 1 year as an offensive quality control coach for the Chiefs and then became the wide receivers coach. Truth is, 3 years ago, he coached wide receivers in high school once, or 5 years ago, and then spent one-off years doing some stuff and then has been the wide receivers coach for 3 years here. He was not qualified for the job when he got it. He got it. No wide receiver improved under his watch. And, you know, like Danen said, I don't root for people to lose their job, but I'm not going to lie. It was an easy decision. And one that probably should have been made at some point during the regular season, if we're being honest. Andy doesn't typically do that. But there's a lot of truth in that just because everybody knew that there was a problem with it. And it's not going back to last year when he, like, stumbled in a press conference interview.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't have to be good in front of a microphone no single wide receiver got better under his watch, and many got worse.
I agree. And then Todd Pinkston, who we all know was a successful NFL wide receiver, is coaching running backs. Why? Like, that makes no sense either. So there's some reshuffling of the deck that absolutely should happen, and it started. And when you have a new OC, that's going to take care of a lot of the position coaches on offense. He's that guy, whoever it ends up being, will likely have his own people that he brings. And I would be surprised how many holdovers from the positional offensive staff there are. Maybe Andy Heck. I don't know. That's ultimately Andy Reid is who makes a lot of those decisions. But if you go and I don't care if it's Cliff Kingsbury or if it's Mike Kafka or whoever, that guy's going to want to bring in some of his people to be position
and
coaches.
And that's honestly, that's good.
Yeah.
Because maybe you can get younger at that position, but younger in a better sense. Because Connor Embry was young. The issue was not that. And look, I'm not going to try to pretend like the, I don't know, 90 yards or whatever Sky Moore's got in a San Francisco uniform makes him a better wide receiver. But they've gotten value out of him. He's played 17 games for him this year. He has 87 yards. But you know what he actually is? A quality return man. You know what Kansas City could have used this year? Quality ability in the return game. He's still not a good wide receiver, okay? He has 87 yards.
I also just think...
But it's like I just nobody think Sky got Moore, better under Connor Embry.
Totally. I would say the Sky Moore part, I would just say Sky Moore needed a new change of scenery well, and good for him that he's having success as a returner in San Francisco. I think I don't blame that one on Tobe as much as I think they should move on from Dave Tobe. I don't think that in the span of 3 weeks, Sky Moore just became a better returner because of amazing coaching from the special teams coordinator in San Francisco. I think he needed mentally to get out of Kansas City
where there was no
pressure anymore, and he was no longer the top pick for that organization.
Second round pick.
That's just my personal opinion on it. But go ahead, Drew.
I have a really good question. So the text line brought this up. Some have said he was a running back. What details can he teach about wide receiver? I went and looked. He played running back in college. So they had a former running back coaching wide receivers and a former wide receiver coaching running backs.
Yes.
Yep.
Does that make any sense?
Dude, Andy one time, and look, this is the outside of the box.
The Royals have a hitting coach hitting coach that was a pitcher.
It definitely happens way more than you realize probably. But Andy one time took a former offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator and made him the opposite. So like in my mind, it's like those aren't the same jobs. I feel like you almost need to specialize as big as the job is now. Look, I look at his resume and I'm like, I'm actually kind of surprised Connor Embry got the job at all. He sat here for a year as the offensive quality control coach. Looks like he got on the staff just based on a favor, right? I don't know that for sure, but like just knowing the resume, he was coaching wide receivers in high school and all of a sudden he gets to be a defensive coach for the Chiefs. I feel like you got to know somebody to make that kind of leap.
Isn't that kind of this? That's how that stuff works, though.
But he got the wide receiver coach in a hurry and got to keep the job for 3 years. Again, nobody got better, so you get fired. That's the way the life works. If this show, people stop listening to it, Alex and I won't keep doing it anymore. Like, that's just the reality of it. So please listen to it. I'd like to keep doing this job. I don't want to become an offensive quality control coach for the Chiefs.
I just wonder if the hitting thing's different with Zumal because, since he was a pitcher, there's tells that he can give to hitters where maybe there's more parallels that cross. I directly played the position, I can in terms of technique and.
You're almost saying a former running back in college would be better to coach linebackers or something because it's hey, I know what you're seeing from the other side.
I don't know.
I don't really care. I just think they need changes on the staff.
It comes across as weird, I guess, in a way.
I would say I don't disagree. I think it's weirder when the results aren't there. Does that make sense? If everything was great, nobody would give a damn. Todd Pinkston was coaching running backs, if the running backs were great, nobody would care. You know, that's just the results are the results, you know? And they haven't had him. So it's time for some change. And a wide receiver coach is out. OC is going to be new. We'll see how they pivot moving forward. All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get into some running backs that are free agents, by the way, with the league year still
a lot of
ways
them.
Away, but there are some free agent running backs. All right, trash of the day takes us to New York. A New York advertising executive reached a deal with prosecutors because he was arrested for something he did on a Florida rooftop.
Like a rooftop bar?
Now, I'm a big fan of rooftop bars.
Oh,
I
huge
love
fan.
Rooftop bars, especially if you've got a good music scene as well. It's like Nashville on Broadway, full of rooftop bars. Great thing. Some good rooftop bars, obviously, in downtown Kansas City as well. So big fan of those. Now, don't do this, clearly. The deal that he reached was because he was accused of relieving himself at the top of a bar called The Landing in Florida. Different landing, okay? Don't worry, Maloney. The Landing, a rooftop bar in Florida, while he was drunk. Police say some people on the sidewalk below were hit with the urine.
Oh.
And he was charged with disorderly conduct, released on a $500 bond. As part of the pretrial agreement, he agreed to accept responsibility. He has to complete 50 hours of community service, undergo alcohol counseling, pay fees. He's also banned from bars and clubs for 6 months.
6 months,
all
huh?
The bars and clubs, I guess. I don't know how they really do that.
Well, they like pass around a sheet of paper.
Pictures on the front door.
Obviously, it's just like you probably have to serve more community service or go to weekend jail or whatever if you actually break that rule, which means don't break the rule. Yeah, this sounds right. Honestly, it sounds like you got it kind of easy. $500 and 50 hours community service. They'll let you do that over like, a stretch of time. So, I mean, feels like he got off relatively easy. I thought you were going through the text line all week. I don't know why, and over on YouTube too. All week has been asking you to do trash of the day on the McRib lawsuit. Did you see what was going on there?
No, I thought we already knew that it's not real rib meat. It's called a. Have you seen it? It's clearly not real rib.
Yeah, but they were suing because they said it's. McDonald's called the claims meritless, but I mean, they said there's no ribs despite it calling. There's no actual pork rib meat, as they say, despite its advertising. Is what it is. I would suggest I'm not a drunk let's go pee in an alley person. I just find a bathroom. I just pee before I leave or whatever, you know? Like I don't know
you
if
try
you
to
were
do that, I think. Or I try to do that.
Yeah, you try.
Golf course is probably
I will
about
say,
the
oh yeah. 100%.
That's the one place, Drew, where
you can get away with it.
I guess I've you know
there was you gotta do what you gotta do if you're stuck out on the fourth hole and it's the furthest away from the clubhouse. Yeah.
One of my good friends' bachelor party, this was I don't know, at this point, I don't know, maybe it's been 10 years. I don't know. At least 10 years. Let's just say it's been 10 years. Doesn't really matter. Bachelor party, you know, it's like 1 a.m. or whatever. We're walking out of a bar. He needed to go to the bathroom. Why he didn't go to the bathroom in the bar we were just at?
Exactly.
Again, it was a bachelor party. He was clearly drunk. He found like a tree that was on the, like off the road, but I'll be honest, the tree was right near the road. Like it was not far enough back away. And he went to the bathroom and a police officer happened to be driving by, pulls over, and he got cited and all that. And in Missouri, he had to pay a lot of money to get through the legal. In Missouri, if you urinate in public, you could get put on the list. So, now he did not. He got it cleared up and all that. But this is why, you got to be a little careful.
Yeah, don't.
A little careful.
You know, go to the bathroom in the bathroom. A crazy, wild
notion. You can't just, you can't whip it out in public like that. Yep.
No.
Do not do that.
Yep, that's against the law. That's against the law. 50 hours community service, that guy will have it knocked out in no time. Does he, like, I gotta say, the $500 fine or $1,000 fine, I'd like that money directly. City doesn't get that. If someone peed on me from the rooftop, I'd like the money from the fine.
Can you have a civil?
I'd like some financial restitution, please.
Can you sue him? Like, can there be a civil suit? Like, you know, can you claim that you had mental distress and it impacted your life because you got urinated on?
Oh, I imagine you can take him to small claims. You might only get a few hundred bucks, but you can get something. Depends on, is that worth it for you? You're going to sue someone over a few hundred dollars?
Emotional distress.
The small claims court,
I couldn't go to work the next day. I was so distraught from it. Oh, no. I don't know. That is the trash of the day. So isn't this a scene from American Pie, too? I think that actually is right. That was Stifler. Wasn't he the one that had that happen,
too?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
I think that's correct.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
You can't whip it out in public like that. Yeah, you can't. You can't. Life lessons, guys. Yeah.
That's Bink, what you come
Bink,
for in the show.
Bink gave us lessons yesterday.
That is 5 inches difference.
Yeah. I mean, got
to
be careful.
But what I said in there, please keep listening to this show despite this trash of the day.
Let me be know? 100.
It was the pause, I think, they got
well,
you.
I wasn't expecting to read a statement from a politician that had the 100 emoji in it, and so I was very caught off guard.
Grew up in the same era, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's I don't think true. I've ever said keep it 100, though, in my whole life.
I don't say it.
If I say something, I'll
Drew,
say, I'll,
Drew
I'll say,
definitely
let, I'll
has.
Say, let me keep it a buck is what
that's
I'll
what
say.
That's what Drew
let
says.
Me
that's
at least
true.
Keep it a buck. That's a lot better than let me keep it 100, I think.
I sometimes can't track. Like, so my kid has been into this game called Fall Guys. It's a free game on the Nintendo where you, like, you know, you race against other people. But because he likes the game, he watches, like, YouTube Kids. He watches, like, people complete, you know, like, yeah, playing yeah. these games or speed run. And he'll say stuff sometimes because he obviously watches these, like, 20-year-olds talk about the game. He's like, oh, this is a sweaty lobby. And I'm like, okay, I can't do this.
That's insane. That is insane.
He'll talk like that. And I'm just like,
sweaty lobby.
That means hard, by the way, in case you're curious. That's a difficult one versus these guys are a bunch of noobs. Into all of these, like all this slang vernacular from like the gamer kids that he likes watching.
That was like the test that you gave us with the terminology that.
But I'm learning new ones. We could do a whole new test a couple weeks from now. Be all kinds of new slang. Maybe you guys didn't know about that. It comes around, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't even cover unk or any kinds of things in there. We've
really
talked gone
about
deep.
Have your kids called you that yet?
No.
Okay.
No, they have not.
I know you're not unk. You're their dad, but.
Yes. Yes, thank you. That's
chill out, Unc. Like, that would be crazy.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll discuss the free agent crop of running backs, and we'll get back into the serious allegations involving Rashee Rice and what that could mean for the offseason.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Soap Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and X. I had somebody comment on an Instagram post. Cody and I will sometimes post the clips on our personal Instagram and TikTok, etc.
Yeah.
And somebody commented, said, I've never seen you guys on video. This is cool. If you're listening,
we've been doing this for years.
But if you're listening, and if especially, you know, if you want, follow us on Instagram if you want as a station, 96.5 The Fan, or Cody, I think, is Cody B. Tap on Instagram.
I'm out. I'm the same on all.
I'm somebody on all the other platforms. I was able to get Alex Gold. Somebody took it on Instagram. So I'm Alex KC Gold on Instagram. Point being, you can follow us there, and yeah, we'll post clips. But if you've seen those right now, like Drew's got the video stream up and running, the whole show, just like during Fesco and Dusty and the drive. The entire show is on video. So if you enjoyed that, cool. Yeah, you can watch the show on there in addition to listening, of course, in your car or the Odyssey app or however you typically consume the show. So just wanted to point that out. I thought that was interesting. Coming up an hour from now, we'll go to Buffalo, talk a little AFC wild card. A lot of implications with the Bills game this weekend against Jacksonville. Josh Allen legacy. Could this be it for Sean McDermott if they lose this game? All that we'll get into with Mike Shope in just a bit. But for the Chiefs, we are talking offseason, and we all, I think, recognize the need for them to be more explosive in the backfield. I think maybe we disagree on the exact path for that, whether it's draft, whether it's free agent, which free agent. But we wanted to take a look at just the crop of potential free agent running backs right now. Just an early look. And the good news for the Chiefs is it's actually a pretty deep group, Cody, of available names. If you want to go the free agent path, I know there's some of you listening that want them to take Jeremiah Love at 9 or take another back in round 2. And I'm certainly not anti-drafting a running back. I am kind of at 9, though. I'll be honest. I am a little bit at 9. But I think you can address running back in free agency. You could have a free agent back, Rashard Smith, and draft a running back this year. And free agency, the top name, Breece Hall. Very interested. Going to be the most expensive, though. He's available. He doesn't turn 25, I think, until the middle of
His expected market value, according to SpaTrak, is over $10 million, about $10.5
million. Yeah. So Breece Hall would be the most expensive. But listen to some of these other names. Travis Etienne, Jacksonville, who's still playing right now. But Travis Etienne, he's projected to maybe be a $6.8 million per year type of back. Javonte Williams having a great year down in Dallas. I'm a little more skeptical on him, I'll be honest, than some of the other names. But he's a potential option. You've got Kenneth Walker. I'd be really intrigued with him. The Seattle running back, he's kind of part of a 1-2 punch there with Zach Charbonnet. J.K. Dobbins was in for a visit a year ago with the Chiefs. They decided to sign Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Whoops. He ends up going to the Chargers and then ended up with the Broncos this year. He did get hurt, though. He's got a long injury history. So when I see the projected value at $9.3 million, that scares me with the injury history. But, man, there's still more names to list off. This is a perfect offseason if you're trying to find a free agent running back.
There's any number of either aging veterans in which you're like, hey, let's get Rico Dowdle in here for fit, and let's also draft a guy, and we'll just pair him up. Rashard Smith, Rico Dowdle, and drafted running back and make that fit. Or if you just want to say, nope, we're getting our starting running back, we're not drafting anything, and Breece Hall's coming here for $10.5 million a year. I went through the list quite a bit, and I was trying to think both for value and for what I want them to do in the draft. And because I now think they might need to draft multiple offensive linemen, at least one wide receiver, maybe a tight end, I'm not against them drafting a running back. I kind of don't hate if they can push it off for a couple of years. And so because of that, and the price and value, I think based on scheme fit, my guy's Travis Etienne. That is the one that I think he's a pass catching back. They use him on third downs. He can share the job and nobody feels any different about it. And they could still do the we'll give Kareem Hunt a 1-year deal if they want the guy who can run for 1 yard. And for a year, it can be Travis Etienne, Rashard Smith, and Kareem Hunt can be the 4th-and-1 guy. And I could just live my life because maybe that's the one area that Etienne doesn't possess out of the guys I just listed, although admittedly, I think that's more of an offensive line thing than a running back thing to get the yard. So like, there's part of me that thinks that was Trey and Creed as well. So like, if I could have any of the free agent running backs at what I think their projected value will be, Etienne would probably be my choice.
If you think they need multiple, but Rashard Smith and they need multiple options, Tyler Allgeier is only projected to get $1.8
million. He's a great fit.
If that's truly his market value, I think
I got to draft a guy.
That's fine. Yeah, and that's fine. I think Tyler Allgeier coupled with somebody else while you still also have Rashard Smith in the room, that works. If you told me it's Tyler Allgeier and then a running back in the 2nd round or a 3rd round pick and still have Rashard Smith in the picture, that could work. If you told me that you say they're not going to draft and they go Tyler Allgeier for a cheaper deal, $1.8 million on average. I don't know. What is that? We can assign to a two-year deal for at $1.8 per year or 3-year deal. I have no idea.
And then they do Rashad White or something.
Rashad White type. Or you go in.
I was thinking different styles. That's all.
Or you go and you couple the two and you say we're going to go Allgeier, who's more of a bruising type of back. And I go Allgeier with J.K. Dobbins and Rashard Smith and just say those are the three. Like, there's some options that they have to fix this running back room.
The question is, because they went back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire so much and even played him over Elijah Mitchell this year, is what is their hang up on the trust department in the running back room? Why it's been Kareem and Clyde when Kareem was once a new name in here and Pacheco was once a new name in here, guys they immediately trusted outside of it. But the veteran ones haven't really hit since the way they kind of used McKinnon. Is he the last just vet back they came in for the role we thought he was going to be in and it worked based on the role he was in? Because they used to do that more successfully. Damian Williams and Jerick McKinnon and these other guys would come in and kind of fit what you're talking about, where you bring in Tyler Allgeier and you've got this kind of point. Look, I think Allgeier's a borderline perfect fit to go with their system as well. But if I'm doing him, I'm drafting a guy. I'm taking a 3rd-round pick. Allgeier's going to be the bruiser. And Allgeier, Rashard Smith, and him, the drafted guy, we should be able to find our starting running back out of that group or run him in a trio that confuses and makes things difficult for teams. I don't think it's crazy.
More teams are
Falcons loved using Allgeier in 3rd downs too. They do 2 back.
That's what I'm saying. More and more teams. There's a handful of teams that don't, but more and more teams, you utilize 2 running backs in today's NFL. I mean, it's been that way for a bit. I mean, unless you have a Saquon Barkley, I mean, it's pretty rare. And even Tank Bigsby got some run late in the year for them. But usually it's not just one bell cow back. You have different types of running backs that provide you. Maybe one is more of a pass catching type of running back. But because of the dollar amount, if it's true, and look, SpotTrack's very good at what they do for projecting,
sometimes they're off, right?
Yeah. Tyler Allgeier, if the projection is right, not only did I just think he was a good fit anyway, but if it's really $1.8 million, then him and whoever, like, he maybe is not the marquee signing, but him with a draft pick or him with a bigger name, like, a, you know, Kenneth Walker, J.K. Dobbins, that would be really intriguing to me.
But they're calling ETN only $6.5-7 million per year. And he's coming off a season which he had 1,100 yards rushing.
Let's see what he does in the postseason.
300 yards receiving and 13 touchdowns. I mean, he was a 1,400 yard from scrimmage back this year. And look, to your point, Tootin, who is the guy who got quite a bit of like backup run at him, he only had a quarter. I mean, ETN was essentially a full-time starter for Jacksonville. He had 260 carries. Versus like Bijan, who had 260, but they also ran at another 160 with Algier.
Some of the names we recognize, but I don't have interest in. See if you guys are in agreement or not. So Najee Harris, I know his name.
I thought he sucked before.
I'm out on that. He'll be 28 this year.
Genuinely never thought he was a good back, so no thank you.
Not really all that. Austin Eckler, he's 31. No, thank you.
He's only 31?
Injury issues, too.
You could have told me he was 38, and I would have believed.
He's
only 31?
He's played 8 years in the league. Yeah, okay. He's 30 and a half, like if you're looking at that. Yeah, he'll be 31 during the season.
Talking to Rico Dowdle.
Rico Dowdle's 28. His projected salary is 6.5 per year. My only hesitation with him would be like, this came out of nowhere, what he did in Carolina. Just completely came out of nowhere.
But because they tried to make it work in Dallas and it didn't, remember?
Yeah, not completely. Nick Chubb, kind of done with him, man. Sorry, just broke down. It's unfortunate, but he broke down. He's 30 as well, as you said. Some other just household names. A.J. Dillon, he's the backup right now in Philadelphia. It was with Green Bay. Philadelphia, one of the backup running backs.
Nah.
He would have to just be the Kareem Hunt role. Like, he's only third and one. that would be it.
No, thanks.
So, there's options, man. There's some options in addition to the draft. This is why I don't think I know we all like Jeremiah Love, and it's hard not to, as the process goes on, to probably end up falling in love with that pick. I just don't think at 9 you need to take Jeremiah Love.
If one was back with either a free agent running back or in a drafted running back, would you rather have Pacheco in a 1 year deal or Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt.
Let's just say the numbers are the same. Let's say it's $4 million bucks.
I would rather the answer be none, but if you're making me pick one because of the goal line stuff or the short yardage success at times they had with Hunt, he would be it. I just think Pacheco needs to move on, and I also think he'll actually get, you know, $3.5-4 million somewhere to be, like, you and I were talking off air. I think he'll be like the number two running back in with the Jets next year or something. That's what I think is going to happen for Pacheco.
I think you could talk me into Travis Etienne, and then you draft somebody like Nick Singleton, who's more of that power back. I mean,
yeah.
I think if you're going to get somebody like Etienne, then you maybe go for a bigger back in the draft. Just from the standpoint of, you don't even have to worry about bringing Kareem Hunt or Pacheco back. You just have ETN, whatever running back you draft, and then you got Breshard Smith as one of the guys that can come in and spell every now and then.
Look, and this goes back to, and we'll talk about it in just a second, the allegations currently against Rashee Rice. If I have to, even in the hypothetical that Rashee Rice makes it through the end of his contract, which is only one more additional season, I kind of feel like running back is a thing I can fix later based on this free agent class. Similar to the way we talked about the draft last year. Last year, the draft was, hey, man, you can solve this right now. There's a million running backs. Just take one. Problem solved. There are at least three who could be full-time running backs, or at least mostly full-time running backs for you, Gold. You could bring in ETN. You could give Breece Hall money. You could, like, there are guys you can just sign and solve this problem for a little while and use those draft picks to solve some of these other mini problems you have.
And one new problem, potentially could be Rashee Rice. And I'm sure by now most people are well aware of the allegations, very serious, troubling allegations from an Instagram post. It is the ex-girlfriend of Rashee Rice, the mother of his two children. Without getting into the exact long paragraph, although, again, you can go and find it, the photos are extremely disturbing, and very serious accusations where she accuses him of putting hands on her, locking her outdoors in 10-degree weather, multiple instances of cheating, cutting up her clothing, abandoning the family in Kansas while he left for Texas. These are things that she accused him of. There's also, again, several really troubling photos of bruising. Yeah.
Scratches, other stuff.
At this point, there is no police report in either the Kansas City area. I know Nate Taylor said he did some digging on this last night in the Kansas City area or down in Dallas in the state of Texas. That's where we're at with the allegations right now. If there is any truth to what she is claiming, and he's not on this team next year.
No.
And now the NFL has come out with a statement and said, like they usually do, right? They're investigating as it proceeds to the personal conduct policy. The Chiefs put out a statement saying they're aware of the allegations from this Instagram post. They're in communication with the NFL. They have no further comment. And I don't think we're going to hear much more for a bit. The question will be will there ever be a police report filed or any other evidence that, you know, shows that this is in fact exactly what happened. And if it is,
he's, oftentimes he's, interviews yeah, victims and in this case. Yeah.
If in fact any of this is true, then
he's not a chief.
Done. And I think there's a lot of people, and I've seen it on the text line today, that the mere mention of this, knowing the prior history,
I'm out.
A lot of people are just done anyway. At bare minimum, Cody, the extension talk is over. Yeah. Whether or not he may not even be available to play anyway, and they may not even get to that point, but the extension stuff, the talk this offseason that they go and extend him and get a team-friendly deal, that's done. You cannot trust him. The mere mention of this, coupled with the prior incident, as we all know, with the accident in Dallas.
I told you this before. This has happened with other players where they get in a little bit of trouble, and then all you're saying is, hey, keep your nose clean. Not even for like something this bad, but like keep your nose clean. Stay out of the news. Don't do anything wrong. Be quiet. Stay at home. Don't go out. Whatever you got to do, right?
Yeah.
Like find a way to not get in trouble, and then for this to come out. Look, I'm done. I'm no longer interested in Rice being around. But I think that there's a way, because the Chiefs do try to work with players with issues, and there is no technical, like, there is no police report right now. The NFL is typically now waited until there is at least that kind of stuff to make any kind of punishment as it relates to it, or at the very least, credible evidence from the interviewed party that would lead to that. I think there's a chance he gets suspended for a portion of the year. I think, and if that happens, then he's definitely not going to be on the team. But even if not, he is not a chief in 2027.
I don't know how that happens.
I don't see a universe in which that occurs now. How? How? You gave him the second chance. He went through massive legal stuff. He's still supposed to spend 30 days in jail at some point. Like, and now he's going to be accused of these. And again, I understand their accusations. I'm not here to tell you whether or not Rashee Rice is innocent or guilty today. What I'm telling you is based on his current history and that coming up, there is absolutely no way almost he ends up as a chief in the long term, which means you have to entertain some stuff in number 9 that if you weren't entertaining before, if you were just thinking defensive line, tell me how you can't think Tyson, think Carnell Tate. Consider some of these other guys who might fly up the draft boards depending on what happens in the combine, and that can't be a real conversation. Maybe no Kelsey, maybe no Rice. You're just down to Xavier Worthy and Jalen Royals. That doesn't feel like enough.
Yeah, they have some time here before April to find out more information about what did or did not occur and what that potentially means for his future in the NFL. And also with whatever they find in their own investigation, the Chiefs and their discussions, whether or not they want this guy around. And they will have till April to make that decision in terms of how it impacts or doesn't impact their draft.
Yeah.
But it does absolutely change, I think, the calculus. And you're right on
already
the Kelsey
impacts
part.
The draft, no matter
you know,
what,
the calculus with Kelsey, you know, we've been talking the last couple of days about, you know, his desire maybe to come back. And we played the audio the other day from his New Heights podcast where he's talking about it being more about whether or not he physically and his body will allow him to get through an 18 plus game schedule again. And I told you yesterday or 2 days ago, you know, that for me, I want him back, but it's got to be the right price. I'll tell you this. If Rashee Rice is not part of the picture next year, then it can be. I don't care if it's actually $16 million. You know, I told you I don't want to pay him $16 million next year. But if there's no Rashee Rice, you have no choice. You have no choice but to pay him whatever it takes to keep Travis Kelce at that point.
Or overpay. Who's going to be the biggest free agent wide receiver? Like Alec Pierce? Because George Pickens, we all agree, is probably going to get
Franchise tagged?
Because it'd be Pickens if it wasn't that.
The Cowboys are not letting him
go. Well, it'd also be kind of funny for like a player who's had difficulty being on a team to all of a sudden go from that issue. And even though I'm going to tell you a name, and he's 31 years old, and I know it's not going to solve their problems long term, but genuinely, he's not 21, he's like 28.
Who
I would genuinely consider is Brandon Ayuk. I'm about 99% sure he's getting
off injury.
Coming off injuries, we don't know if he wants to play football
anymore.
I'm
like 99% sure he's just going to get floated out by the 49ers and cut anyway. And he's going to be a free agent. And if I were Ayuk and I was thinking 1-2 year deal, 1 year with a second year option to revamp before I get, because he can't get his big deal right now. He can't. Right. If I thought, where am I going to get my deal? Oh, no number one wide receiver in Kansas City anymore. Mm-hmm. And I used to be a 1,200 yard guy. And I'm a, not kidding, similar build, similar route tree, similar player to that is Rashee Rice. Great yards after contact guy. He's pretty much just Rashee Rice. As far as player comp goes, I feel like that's a player I would both be interested in, and I think he would be interested here.
Go ahead.
Would you consider more trading Trent McDuffie to get a first that you could use next year to double up and get a guy like Jeremiah Smith? I don't know. Again, I don't know where the Chiefs are going to be picking next year, but I know that some of the conversations have been, Gold, you don't think they're going to be ready to contend again fully, truly, till 27.
As in Super Bowl contender, yeah.
Does this sort of thing make you think, well, instead of, like, you might have to draft a guy in 9, but also thinking you could get a guy of that caliber where you flip Trent McDuffie and use that pick to double up and move up to get Jeremiah Smith?
Before any of these Rashee Rice allegations, I've said I don't believe that they will be a Super Bowl contender next year. People can obviously disagree, but I believe they should be looking how to set themselves up best for 2027. Here's the only thing, and you know I'm open to listening on offers for Trent McDuffie. Here's the only thing. At some point, though, we're getting to where you got to have, like, if Travis Kelce retires and Rice is not on the team Trent McDuffie, sure. You would stockpile picks, but at some point, like, I don't know if it actually makes it less likely. The Brandon Ayuk thing, real quick, you brought him up. I think a couple years ago, we remember his name was linked to Kansas City. People were thought a trade candidate. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that came from inside the Chiefs organization, if this regime has interest. My only hesitation with Ayuk, I get your logic on for him, like why he would want to come here, but he's still coming off major injuries.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan, I think we all kind of respect him. You know, it sounds like basically he's saying that this guy didn't want to work anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, so he wouldn't show up to
wedding. That's a problem.
Oh, I'm not saying it doesn't come with some risk. I'm openly admitting it. It's just one of those risks I would probably take. Look, and here's the thing about, like, the Trent McDuffie thing, Drew. I think they can be a Super Bowl contender next year. Alex doesn't. And that's, again, like, that's just, like, an opinion. We're allowed to vary on that. I will say, I don't think, whether Alex is right or I'm right, I don't think the Chiefs would ever do that year where what Alex talked about. No Travis Kelce, no Rice, no McDuffie, and just be like, you know what? We'll just throw a year away with Mom. They'll never do it that way. They'll never try. They'll never put themselves in a position for it to even kind of maybe be like that.
Not now. I mean, like, let's say Trent McDuffie goes out and has another spectacular season. Let's say they just play this out. Do they do it like next year at this time? Is what I would be saying. Where like, you know what? This is what we know. The roster is built this way. We could potentially get our stud wide receiver. Like, I don't know if that.
I get
changes.
Because
I'm on
question.
Team, do not trade Trent McDuffie still as of right now.
I just don't think they're going to operate like, what do we do in 2027?
Yeah.
Of course not.
The way you said it, though, you said, Trent McDuffie plays all next year, then would I trade? I'll be out. Like, I know we're supposed to have an opinion. There's so many variables. I have no, like, does that change my opinion? I mean, there's so many variables to whether or not. Now, fast forward to next year. We're trying to figure out this offseason, let alone trying to figure out now, like, what do you think I'm going to feel about McDuffie next February? I don't know, there's so many things that can change.
I'm sure
they drafted. Who's still here? Yeah.
Because obviously they need more than just, like, let's say they were to do this. They still need more than just one player to replace the production of course, Kelce, and if or she is not there anymore. But just thinking of getting a guy that you won't have to worry about. Because, look, Carnell Tate's great. He's not Jeremiah Smith. Mm-hmm. Jordan Tyson's great. He's not Jeremiah Smith. And I just thinking from that standpoint, if you can get by and then utilize where you're at next year, potentially along with a McDuffie trade or whatever the case is to secure that sort of a player, then maybe that just changes your mind about it, whether you do or do not trade McDuffie.
When's the next time you think we hear anything on Rice? Month? 2 months? Combine? Veach will have to answer something at the combine. That's the next time he's available.
The question is, so his ex-girlfriend made the post on Instagram. The question would be, does she now
want to file charges or just wanted to get it out there?
Right. And so that's, as far as more information, it depends on what path she chooses and what she's comfortable with moving forward. Did she just want her story out there and yet but she doesn't want there to be charges? Very hard to say. Only she can answer that. I have no idea. I tend to think we're not going to hear much of anything for a while.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it'll just be all the, we're aware of the situation.
It definitely complicated the offseason. There's no secret there. I mean,
it was already complicated.
It was a busy offseason already with a lot of decisions. And now this potentially makes it even more so. you know, short term if he's available to play. Long term, it just makes the contract extension conversation.
It's a real transition year, admittedly, because it could still be a year where there's no Kelce. They're going to change offensive coordinators from one of the, like, it's just been Nagy or Bieniemy for so many years now. I barely can even remember the Doug Peterson left so long ago that he took a head coaching job, coached it for multiple years, got fired, took a different head coaching job, coached it for multiple years, and got fired since the last time it wasn't one of those two guys as offensive coordinator. So like that era feels so long and distant ago that unless they just bring back Bieniemy again, it would feel like we're getting ready to head to an offseason where there is real transition and real change. And again, it lines up well for you in the sense that if you're going to have to do all that, at least be picking number 9. At least also have, because you still have Mahomes, you still have a lot of, I don't want to try to make it seem like every time we talk about the Chiefs, there's no redeemable quality about the roster. There are things on the roster that still work. Most importantly, Mahomes.
Yeah, this is not the Raiders, this is not the Tennessee Titans, okay? This is not the Cleveland Browns. They're just held to a much higher standard. You're competing for championships, and I think we all recognize at the end of this season and right now there are multiple things that would have to take place, at least for me, to believe that they're a Super Bowl contender again. And they got some, this is why Brett Veach and his staff, they get paid the money. They have a lot of things they have to get right this offseason. And they also, I think, are going to have to, maybe they won't. I think when they go through their draft process, no matter how this Rashee Rice thing ends, when they go through it, I'm sorry, you've got to change a little bit of your thought process and on how you judge the character of certain players. I understand abilities. Look, Rashee Rice is physically gifted. No kidding, right? Such a gifted player. And that's what makes the whole thing also, dumber, because you got all this talent in the world. What the hell are you thinking? But you as an organization, we all know the examples. I don't have to go through each one. After all the issues that have arose with some of these guys that they have drafted.
And might have to start taking guys off your board if you got problems.
You might want to think about it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And how you evaluate. All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We'll also take a look at the AFC side of Wild Card Weekend and all 32 right here on Cody and Gold.